Our Father, we will even bless you and magnify you. We will exalt your name. We come by the blood of Yeshua. We speak and we invoke the covenant and the spirit of life that is in that blood. We want to bring ourselves under the power of that blood, the redeeming power, the atoning power of that blood. Lord, we will magnify you. We say, oh my soul, magnify the Lord. Let all the realms of my soul magnify you. David said, you have given me breath. We marvel at what you have done. We marvel at your thoughts towards us. Such love. We look at the detail, the depth, the glory, the riches of your inheritance. Paul said, the glory of the riches of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for you are now opening the eyes of our understanding to see the greatness of your power, to bring us and to put us, to situate us in this calling of the beloved, this heritage of the beloved, even as you did in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we glorify your name. We are very grateful for calling us, for drawing us. We see the cuts of love. We see the persistence of your love. And we see the power of your love. Our Lord, we come this evening to submit to you. We say to our soul, magnify the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That Jesus will be the governor of Zion. He will rule. He will reign. That our spirit will not be in the flesh, but will be under the overshadowing of the spirit. Lord, we come to receive the breath that comes by your spirit, the inspiration. For he said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth it understanding. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit, of your grace, upon the realms of our soul to refresh it, to open the eyes of our understanding, to bring an awareness. Lord, let the barrier that is there that's created between man and you be taken away. That we might come into that place of union with you. Even that experience of your Emmanuel. Blessed be your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. As the song was going on, I was just looking at some thoughts were coming through. As Brother Bot had started in the morning.
Yes.
Well, it's good you reminded me.
Maybe I'll start. Maybe my wife takes over after a while.
Whatever.
Okay.
It's okay. So I was saying that as we were singing the song, Magnify the Lord, I was just thinking about my soul. And then also thinking of the words that came in the morning. True, Brother Bot. And so I would just like to share about the soul. It still intrigues me. I'm really out of breath. When in my little mind I can see what God has done. You know, You know, I mean, the Bible says God is good.
You believe that God is good.
And you're looking at the time that has been invested for my goodness. You know, the depth, the detail, the far-reaching consequence. You know, in eternity, not just in time, of what God has done for you and for me. You know, maybe like Paul said, oh, the depth of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. You know the scripture in Romans, it says, how unsearchable are his riches, you know, are his ways past finding out. Maybe we should read the scripture so that I think it's Romans 11, I think. Is it 9:11? I think it's
11. Yeah. I think it's
11. Romans 11. It should be, I think it's about the last verse. Okay, yes, Romans 11. Verse 33, yes. You say, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom. It's like, I'll feel more comfortable sitting down. of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments? And his ways past finding out. For who had known the mind of the Lord, or who had been his counselor? So, or who had faith given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. Mm-hmm. To whom be glory forever. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Denn aus ihm und durch ihn und zu ihm hin sind alle Dinge. Ihm soll die Herrlichkeit in Ewigkeit. Amen.
You know, so the depth of God's love, we are still going to discover.
Wir sind immer noch weiter zu erforschen, welche Tiefe Gottes Liebe hat.
And you know, the power of such love, you know, in God being patient with us, even in his discipline,
die Kraft, you know, dieser Liebe,
that he brings upon our lives.
Die Kraft dieser Liebe, dass Gott immer noch Geduld mit uns hat.
You know, and I was, you know, meditating on that song, the last scripture that came to me, it's, I think it's a Matthew or Mark 8:38. Where he says, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world and to lose his soul? Is that Mark 8? Yes, I think so. Okay, yes, I think I got it. Mark 8, 36.
Mark 8, 36.
Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Starting 34.
I started 34, sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Then.
Okay, let me read through, then you can come. Okay, 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and God and the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Wenn jemand mir nachkommen will, verleugne er sich selbst und nehme sein Kreuz auf und folge mir nach. Denn wer sein Leben retten will, wird es verlieren. Wer aber sein Leben verliert um meines Willen und um des Evangeliums Willen, wird es retten. Denn was nützt es einem Menschen, die ganze Welt zu gewinnen und sein Leben einzubüßen. Denn was könnte ein Mensch als Lösegeld für sein Leben geben?
You know, so I think that in these few days we've been here, particularly this morning, I just get the feeling of what is on the heart of God for us.
In diesen wenigen Tagen und besonders heute Morgen hatte ich ein Gefühl dafür bekommen, was Gott auf dem Herzen für uns hat.
The feeling I get, it's there is a thought, a burden on God's heart to share with us His plan of salvation.
Gott hat auf dem Herzen mit uns den Plan seiner Errettung zu teilen.
God's plan for the salvation of the soul and for the inheritance He has for the soul.
Gottes Plan zur Errettung der Seele und auch für das, was für die Seele bereit ist.
So He's not just saving us so that we won't go to hell, but He wants to save the soul for a purpose.
Also nicht nur, dass wir von der Hölle gerettet werden, sondern dass die Seele für einen bestimmten Grund gerettet wird.
And the tragedy in the church is blindness.
Das Traurige in der Kirche ist die Blindheit.
You know, spiritual blindness. That is the greatest tragedy in the church. Because men have not seen.
Ein Mensch hat das nicht gesehen.
Give you an example. Paul had one encounter. Paul had one meeting with the Lord in which he saw.
Paul hatte eine Begegnung mit dem Herrn.
And you can see the impact of that experience. They changed his whole course of life. And you can see the richness it has brought to the church all through the centuries. Just an encounter of sin. And Jesus himself said, if the blind lead the blind, they're both the leader and the blind that are going to fall into the ditch. So we see blindness in man, and that has been reflected in the church. Because where men have not seen, you cannot communicate what you have not seen.
Denn wenn der Mensch nicht erkannt hat, dann kann man darüber auch nicht sprechen.
It reminds me of the story of David and his son Absalom.
Erinnert mich an die Geschichte von David und seinem Sohn Absalom.
When Absalom was going to be judged. Was judged.
Als Absalom verurteilt wurde.
When God brought judgment on Absalom for his rebellion.
Yeah.
You know, there are two men who claimed that they had a message.
Als Gott ihn verurteilen wollte, gab es zwei Männer, die behaupteten, sie hätten eine Botschaft.
Two of them claimed that they had a message concerning that judgment.
Eine Botschaft betreffend dieses Urteil.
And the judgment of Absalom is actually the judgment of the rebellion of man in the Garden of Eden.
Diese Beurteilung Absaloms ist eigentlich die Beurteilung der Rebellion der Kirche.
Because the spirit of rebellion is the same. The spirit of rebellion is the same.
Denn der Geist der Rebellion ist derselbe.
Absalom was the son of David.
Absalom war Davids Sohn.
And it speaks of the rebellion of Adam, who was the son of God.
Das bedeutet auch die Rebellion Adam, yeah. Sohn des Gottes.
One man claimed he had a message, and he was very fast in running to deliver the message.
Ein Mann behauptet, er hat eine Botschaft und ist sehr fleißig dabei, die zu verbreiten.
So we see in the church that there is a very popular stream that is very professional in delivering a message.
Wir sehen also in der Kirche einen sehr populären Fluss, eine Nachricht zu verbreiten, der auch sehr professionell aufgezogen wird.
Yet there is another man who had a message also, he was running.
Der andere Mann hatte auch eine Botschaft und ist auch damit gerannt.
But it was very slow.
Aber er war eigentlich langsam.
It was not professional.
Nicht professional.
So he was running very slowly.
Sehr langsam.
But he was the one that had the message.
Aber er hatte die richtige Botschaft. You know?
So the first man ran and came to the king and they said, what message do you have? He said, I just saw confusion, commotion. I don't really know what happened. They told him understand das eigentlich?
Also der erste Mann kam zuerst vom König an, er wurde gefragt, welche Botschaft hast du, und er sagte, ich habe nur Verwirrung gesehen.
And because they could see another man running, so let's wait to hear what that man will say.
Da war, kam ja schon der andere, und die wollten auf ihn warten.
And that man was Cushy. His name was Cushy. Yes, and he was a black man.
Er war ein schwarzer Mann, er hieß Cushy.
Not that blackness means anything, but it just happens that he was a black man. You know. So he was the one that came and said that the judgment of Absalom had been judged, has been performed.
Und der sagte, das Urteil über Absalom wurde tatsächlich ausgeführt.
You know, so in the church today there is an unpopular message that is very clear. There is very clear about the judgment of rebellion.
Es gibt heute eine,
in the heart of man.
Eine sehr unpopuläre Botschaft in der Kirche, die da von der Verurteilung der Rebellion im Herzen des Menschen spricht.
Did you say there is?
There is now in the church is an unpopular message.
Es gibt eine unpopuläre Botschaft jetzt in der Kirche.
And I have decided a long time that I will listen to that message. I have made the decision that I will listen to that unpopular message. I am going to give my life for it. I want to be involved in it. I want to be in the forefront of it. I want to do everything I can about this message. Because that is the message of the king. That's the message the king has commissioned. You know, because he's addressing the rebellion in the heart of man.
You know?
And it is dealing with what is very dear in God's heart. The salvation of the soul. So you can imagine this kind of profound statement from Jesus. In Mark chapter 8, where he in one sentence, you know, puts on a balance the soul against every other thing in the world.
In einem Satz stellt er diese Widerspruch her zwischen der Seele und dem, was alles in der Seele steckt.
What will it profit a man to gain all the world and lose his soul?
Was bringt es dem Menschen, wenn er alles in der Welt gewinnt, aber seine Seele verliert?
I mean, what audacity? What authority? What boldness? You know, he had to make such a statement.
Für diese Aussage braucht er einen.
So, if I'm a doctor, this has no consequence. If my soul is not saved, you know, whatever I achieve in the world and my soul is not saved, is of no consequence. Very profound statement, you know, and I think it's something that we need to reflect individually as to how we are responding to these thoughts from God.
Der grundlegende Aussage, auf die wir persönlich reagieren müssen.
I'll come back to Mark 8 because there are a few principles I would like to bring. But I read Mark 8, 34, 35, 36, and 37.
Come to Markus
8, 34 to 37. Okay, but I'll come back to it. I just want to make a reference to one other scripture. Hebrews 10. It's been a scripture that has really been a blessing to me. Hebrews 10, 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Mein Gerechter aber wird aus Glauben leben, und wenn er sich zurückzieht, wird meine Seele kein Wohlgefallen an ihm haben.
But we are not of them that draw back unto destruction or perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Wir aber sind nicht von denen, die zurückweichen zum Verderben, sondern wir von denen, die glauben zur Gewinnung des Lebens.
10, yeah.
Amen.
Hebrews 10, 37, 38.
Could you please repeat the English version? Because the German is different here.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
It says now, Hebrews 10.
My Bible is not reading that in Hebrews 10. What does it say?
So you better check the Bibles you are reading.
To gain life.
But I have another version. I have the Schlachter, and it says saving of the soul. So this one now is what?
Which is that? Is that Luther?
This is
Elbow Fader. Oh my God! You know. Some of these Bibles, it should actually be going to the kitchen, into that round container.
Okay.
But you know, the interpreter usually is
close to the text.
Yes, normally.
You know, so because anyone that doesn't really have this, that's not from the old Latin Vulgate.
I can give you the Hebrew.
Okay, yes, let's have the Hebrew.
It comes from the Greek word 4047 in the Strong Concordance. It is the word, forgive my pronunciation, peripoesias, and it means purchase possession, to obtain, to saving, preserving or preservation, possession of one's own property, number three, and obtaining.
Mm-hmm.
So your Bible says what?
Your Bible says gaining life.
Gaining.
Well, it's not strong, a lukewarm.
Mm.
And it doesn't talk about the soul; it talks about life.
Okay. Yes.
Well, the word sicker is the soul.
I mean, everybody.
Sure.
That is basic Greek. Basically, and there's no way to translate any other way. Suk is soul.
Yep.
It's from where you get psychology. There is nowhere you can, anywhere you like go, you must translate it soul.
Your version is what?
Now I have checked Schlachter and Luther, and they are correct.
Uh-huh.
And he has Elberfelder, and his soul is not correct.
So the
thought is very clear and it's fundamental, and you can see that's why the devil will attack it. Because if you miss it, it takes you completely off. So the power of the word is not preserved, because what he's saying is consistent with what Jesus said. About the importance of the soul. You know, and a man's relationship cannot be viewed from any other way but to look at it in terms of peace with God, making peace with God. Okay, let's do for one more scripture, because the Bible said by the word of two or three witnesses every word will be confirmed. So let's look for another confirmation. We've seen Jesus make that statement. So let's look for another confirmation. And you can find it in Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 9. Okay, Peter is even more direct.
He
says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of the soul. So let's look at the word salvation. It's Greek 4991, which means soteria. You know, and everyone knows that soteria is speaking of one, deliverance. Okay, she's called?
Sotria.
Okay, it's from this word.
That's how the Greek.
Okay, good. Okay, father is Greek, right? You see, you can see. Deliverance. It means deliverance, preservation, safety, salvation. Deliverance from enemy and all that and so on and so on. It means deliver. Go on. It means deliver, health, salvation, saving. So these are two. We're looking at two translations. One is Theas. Theas says deliverance, preservation, safety, salvation. Strong's definition says deliver, health, salvation, saving, save. So you can see, so there's an agreement that, you know, there is such a thing as the salvation of the soul. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Yes. He said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So it means that there is a beginning of the salvation of the soul, and there is an end of the salvation of the soul. And in the morning, Brother Bot was speaking about a little son and a matured son. So to save the soul means to come to maturity. You know, in the relationship of the soul with God. So and that's how you know a correct talk, because it agrees with every other thing. There's an across the board agreement. You don't need to argue for the word of God. It is self confirmatory and self explanatory. So it says, by the word of two or three witnesses, every thought will be established.
There's an interesting thought here in the Strong's.
Yes.
And when it gives the definition of deliverance, perseverance, safety, salvation, it says one of the explanation is deliverance from molestation.
Yes, of enemies. I saw it of the enemy, which is the devil.
Delivery and
molestation is when you really go out at somebody else.
Somebody who is, you know, disturbing you, oppressing you, or, you know. And that's what the devil does. He's always buffeting you.
Yes.
You know?
Well, it is the word in English, molestation, has a perverted sense.
Oh.
It comes and grabs you and hurts you.
Okay.
And molests
after
you.
Me. Yeah, exactly. That's molestation.
Okay, we have it now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know.
It also has a sexual connotation.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Look, if you use it, I've only known it in that.
Okay, in that sense.
So that word has that kind of.
Mm-hmm.
If we want it,
it is in line with what the Bible says
down about a lot of the difference between the wrong and the correct Bible translation.
Okay. So we've got that basic thought established about the salvation of the soul. You know, so like he said, there is a beginning of the salvation of the soul, and there is an end of it. So I would like to look at some principles about the salvation of the soul. What does God mean by salvation of the soul? What is it all about? And you know, to see it, we have to go back to Mark. Okay, we have to go back to Mark 8. And verse 34 gives us the key.
So
whosoever will come after me, let him deny self.
Wenn jemand mir nachkommen will, dann leugne er sich selbst.
And take up his cross.
Nimm sein Kreuz auf.
And follow me. It is a complete statement. Everything you need is there.
Eine vollständige Aussage. Alles ist da drin.
So I would like to look at those, you know, those concepts. One is the thing about self. That's the major thing. So you have to, there's self, then there is the cross, there is deny, and then there is follow. So what do you do to self? You deny self.
Was machst du mit deinem Selbst und deinem Ich?
And then you take up the cross. And then you follow. You know, me, follow Christ. You know, so it's speaking about a relationship. You know, a change of relationship onto another relationship, you know, with Christ. So I would like to look at what is self. When you say, you use the word self. What is it? Let me use another word, old man. Paul always talked about my old man. You know, putting off the old man. What is it? In some places you read the scripture, you use the word, it says the carnal mind is hostile to God, is enmity, is an enemy of God. What does that mean? Who is the carnal man? You know? In other places, it talks about. Let me just stop at that. The other ones are maybe a little bit more technical, you know. But you are looking at the word self. You know, what is it talking about? You see that self, old man, and carnal man. That's talking about the same thing. It's still addressing the soul.
Dieses selbst, der alte Mensch und dieses fleischliche Denken, das ist der gleiche.
And many of us, when we read the New Testament, it can be really confusing because you are using your head, you are trying to find out what is this soul, what is the old man, what is, you know, and because of it, we lose the power of the word.
Das Neue Testament kann einen da verwirren, weil man, wenn man diese Begriffe verstehen will, kann man da etwas durcheinander kommen. Wir verlieren dann die Kraft des Wortes.
So when you speak of man, I would like to go back to the beginning because it helps you give you a context.
Wenn wir über den Menschen sprechen, mag ich gerne an den Anfang zurückgehen. Das hilft einem.
And when you go back to the old, when you go back to the beginning, you don't have a choice but to come to Matthew, because you see two beginnings in Genesis and in Matthew. There are two Adams that are being discussed.
Sowohl in Genesis als auch in Matthäus wird über zwei Adams gesprochen.
Okay, so when you say self, you are looking at two types of soul. You know, the first Adam and the second Adam, or the, you know, second Adam.
Also das hat zwei Teile der Seele, zwei Arten der Seele, nämlich den ersten und den letzten Adam.
Okay, the first Adam, we know his history. He fell. He's a fallen man.
Wir kennen die Geschichte des ersten Adams. Er ist ja gefallen.
So he's a fallen soul.
Eine gefallene Seele.
You know, it's a soul that has been corrupted by darkness. You know, a very active principle, you know, of good and evil mixed together. You know, so it's like you have a virus introduced into your computer. I'm sure Hadi knows that very well because the communications people, they know about the power of virus. Because when you get the really bad virus in your system, it's done.
Yes.
You can't get it out.
You need a refresh of the software.
Okay, very good. the message is over. He has finished the message. The message is over. Because you must refresh the software. And the software is the mind. You can see? You know? So, and that is what the devil did. He got in a very bad virus called good and evil. He put it in the soul. So the first Adam, or self, is no good. So even if you give it a new name, it's still bad. You know, even if it's religious, it goes to Rome every year on pilgrimage. It is of no use. You know, the only way is to renew that system, is to get out, you know, in fact, is to put a new program that can wipe it out. You know, and Brother Paul read that scripture, Hebrews 10, is really beautiful. I really love you too. Spend 1 week on it. Your life will change. You know, Hebrews 10 says, "I will put my law in the inward parts."
Bruder Bösch hat das vorgelesen in Hebräer 10. Ich werde mein Gesetz in das Innerste eures Herzens legen.
Because the Old Testament didn't address the problem.
Das Alte Testament hat das Problem nicht wirklich erkannt.
Old Testament was just cosmetic on the outward. It was forms.
Das war nur Kosmetik.
You know. And rituals, celebrations, and all that.
Rituale, Feste und so was.
And it did not go to where the problem was. The problem was inside the soul of man.
Aber das Problem ist in der Seele des Menschen, da ist es hingekommen.
So Hebrews where from 7 says he found fault with that old covenant. So he says, "I will make a new one."
Also in Hebräer 10 steht, dass er den alten Bund beendet und einen neuen schließt.
So in making a new one, he had to bring a new Adam.
Er musste einen neuen Adam dafür bringen.
And in this new Adam, there was no virus, there was no good and evil. It was a life of God. The everlasting life of God. That was what was there. Yes, yes.
You are talking about good and evil. That's the concept of knowing.
The tree of the knowledge of good and of good and evil, yes. That is what I'm talking about. Yes. You know, because there are two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you notice the word knowledge, so it's speaking of the mind. So it's telling you where the problem is. The problem is in the knowledge and it's in the mind. You know, so God says, "I will make a new covenant and I will heal that knowledge. I will put my law in the inward man and write it upon your mind." You know, so that no man will need to say to his brother, "Know me," because everyone will have the ability to know God, to have a right knowledge of God. So the problem that the soul has is that of knowledge, seeing. Because to know is to see, to perceive. And again, it comes back to what we were saying about the problem in the church, which is the problem of blindness, spiritual blindness. Because the natural mind is spiritually blind. You know, and that is one of the characteristics of the old man, that it is spiritually blind. Let me go to one scripture. I will come back to Mark 8. So, you know, it's important to illustrate that. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, I think. No. Let's read from 13 to 15. It says 2 Corinthians 3, verse 13, if you read down. It says, "Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished."
und tun nicht wie Mose, der an der Decke über sein Angesicht legte, damit die Söhne Israels nicht auf das Ende des Vergebenen blicken sollten.
But their minds were blinded.
Aber ihr Sinn ist verstockt worden.
For until this day remains the same veil on taking away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ in the second Adam.
Denn bis auf den heutigen Tag bleibt dieselbe Decke auf der Verlesung des Alten Testaments und wird nicht aufgedeckt, weil sie nur in Christus beseitigt.
But even unto this very day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart.
Aber bis heute, so oft Mose gelesen wird, liegt eine Decke auf ihrem Herzen.
But he said, nevertheless, that's good news. When this heart and mind shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
Dann aber, wenn er sich zum Herrn wenden wird, wird die Decke weggenommen.
And of course, the popular scriptures in 7 and 17 and 18, he said, the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Der Herr aber ist der Geist, wo aber der Geist des Herrn ist, ist Freiheit.
But we all, with open faith, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord.
Wir alle aber schauen mit aufgedecktem Angesicht die Herrlichkeit des Herrn an.
Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Und werden so verwandelt in dasselbe Bild von Herrlichkeit zu Herrlichkeit, wie es vom Herrn, dem Geist, geschieht.
Again, you see the clear thought of God's plan for the first Adam and the second Adam. So the second Adam is Christ, he has no veil. And all who submit to that work of salvation will receive the same benefit of having the veil taken away. I say all who will submit to Christ will also have this veil taken away from them. Okay, so let's go back to Mark 8. I was talking about self, you know, the old Adam. So he says there's a need for salvation.
Where? Mark 8?
Yes, Mark 8, 34. I'm saying that it speaks very clearly.
What verse?
8:34.
Ah, thank you.
So he's speaking and saying very clearly that there is a need for the salvation of the soul. So if someone was to ask you, what is the purpose of your life? If someone was to ask you, what was the purpose of your relationship with God?
Warum hast du eine Beziehung zu Gott überhaupt?
Or if you go out on the street and ask someone come out from the church, maybe Pentecostal church, probably that should be your best bet, what is the purpose of your life? Why are you following God? He will tell you, I'm following Christ because I want to be a winner.
Er wird dir sagen, ich folge Christus, weil ich ein Sieger sein.
Or I want to be a champion.
Oder weil ich ein Gewinner sein
soll. Or I want to have prosperity. Which is completely different from what Jesus is speaking about. So you can see how the devil has completely swayed the gospel. If you went to an Orthodox church or Lutheran church and asked someone, you say, what is the purpose of your relationship with God? So that he will tell you, so that I can have a good life and be good to humanity. I'll be a good citizen of Germany. That's why you are a Christian. So some will even give it a socialist or humanistic reason that, so that they can be a good human being. Which is not addressing the issue at all. Because Peter is saying that the reason for our salvation is to achieve the end of the salvation of the soul. And in my experience with people, even those who say they are end time Christians, Many people do not have this very basic understanding. And in my own little experience, I see that in cases where you have crisis, it is because people have lost the basic understanding of what God has in mind. And God as a good investor. As an investor who will never lose his investment, he will never support any vision that does not match his own original vision. So that's why you see shipwreck all over the place. The church is littered with abandoned projects. People who start out and they end up on the roadside. Because God will not support it. You know, and if you are descending, you can see the way, you can see that way, the way it has gone, falling all by the wayside because it has fallen short of the vision and the purpose of God. So it says, the self must be addressed at the cross. So that is where you deal with self at the cross. You don't take self to school. You take self to the Bible school, it will turn around the whole Bible school. It will make the Bible school a servant of self. The Bible school is serving self. Because the only place self should be is on the cross. Any other place is going to survive the whole system. So even if you wear the cross on your neck and you write it all over you. if you don't get on the cross yourself, if you don't get on the cross yourself, then it's a fall short of. And as we were discussing, I think it was in Moravia we were discussing. Now the death of the cross is a slow death. It is the Romans were the most cruel set of human beings that ever lived. They knew how to punish a man. They would skin you alive. Can you imagine that? They skin you alive. Yeah. That is, if you were an enemy of Rome, they skin you alive. So when you think of it, you run away. Anyway, but the worst was the crucifixion. Because it's a slow death. Sometimes it takes about 8 days for the man to die.
Yes.
Sometimes it can go as fast. So imagine a man hanging, he's not dead, he's just dying slowly. Sometimes the beds will come, you can imagine so that is that is the worst form of death, and that is what the self needs.
So that's part of the place, so an art from number two.
You know, so that means the power of God to slay this old man must be continuous. It must be total. If you pull back, then you heal the soul. And that is what Revelation said, that there was a beast that received a blow, but that the blow has been, the wound has been healed.
So da gibt es auch in der Offenbarung dieses Tier, dessen Wunde geheilt wurde.
There's a beast that got a blow in the spirit, but the wound had been healed. You know. It has been healed.
Because it drew back.
Yes, yes.
The wound was healed.
It was healed.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. So the cells did not die. It drew back.
And you can see that the whole so-called Western Judeo-Christian superiority in the world has been subverted because the church lost its message.
die Überlegenheit der Kirche im Westen, also den Judentum und der Kirche im Westen, wurde umgedreht, weil die Kirche im Westen die Kraft verloren hat.
Mm. That's the influence of the gospel over the world, which was championed by the Western, you know, countries. That power has been broken because it has not sustained it.
Also die Macht des Evangeliums in der Welt ist gebrochen, weil da keine.
The power of that message was the cross.
Ja, die Kraft dieser Nachricht war ursprünglich das Kreuz.
So if you take away the cross,
there's
no message.
Da gibt's keine Botschaft.
It becomes humanity, morality, being good.
Social,
you know. So the first experience that the soul must have is the cross.
Also die erste Erfahrung der Seele muss das Kreuz sein.
You know, and it is a crucifixion.
Eine Kreuzigung.
You know, and Jesus had that experience.
Jesus hatte diese Erfahrung.
And the Bible says he did it for us. Okay, now if you understand the principles of judgment, you will see that experience has two parts. So Jesus died in my place many years ago, but the Bible even says that he died from the foundation of the world. You understand? He died from the foundation of the world. Even before the world started, he had that blood has already been shed in the spirit. So that means for you to say you want to benefit from the provisions of that sacrifice, you must have an experience of it.
Wenn du also von diesem Opfer profitieren willst, musst du selber eine Erfahrung davon haben.
So there is the potential of that sacrifice.
Die Möglichkeit dieses Opfers.
Jesus has died on my behalf.
Jesus ist an meiner Stelle gestorben.
So I cannot be punished again for it.
Ich kann also nicht nochmal dafür selber sterben.
Because they say you cannot punish an individual two times for the same crime. So that is a law everybody recognizes. You cannot punish an individual two times for the same offense. You can't do that. Okay, so Jesus came and took our place. Alright, so now if Jesus took my place, then what do I have to do? What do I have to do? And again, that has been a point of crisis in the church.
Das war auch ein Krisenpunkt in der.
Because some people say, well, Jesus died for me, then that is the end for me, I'm saved.
Jesus starb für mich, das war's.
You know, and they start running around the whole place.
Ich kann es einfach so weitermachen.
It is because, that, again, that is not understanding the proper basis of that relationship, of that atoning sacrifice.
Aber das zeigt nicht, dass man die Grundlage des Opfers verstanden hat.
So whoever says he agrees that Jesus died for him,
wer immer sagt, er akzeptiert, dass Jesus für ihn gestorben ist,
then must submit to Christ.
Der muss sich Gott, Jesus Christus unterstellen.
That is the only way the sacrifice will be effective in his life.
Und dann kann dieses Opfer auch in seinem Leben.
So I have a role to play.
Ich habe auch eine Rolle.
So I cannot say I accept the fact that Jesus has died for me and continue to live my life. Then it's not, you cannot, you know, because what it means is that Jesus in dying for whoever will accept has taken ownership. Because it is called redemption. It's a buyback. You know, the Greeks will call it latria. Latria, that means to redeem. Somebody has authority over a slave. It is a slave. He can do anything he wants with the slave. He can kill the slave. He can set it free. He can do anything he wants. It's a slave. So if you say you want to deliver the slave from that type of life,
Wenn du also einen Sklaven davon befreien willst,
then there's a price to pay.
Musst du einen Preis bezahlen.
You pay the price, you take the slave.
Du zahlst den Preis.
You do whatever you want with the slave. So you cannot take the slave and the slave said, no, 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 I don't want to go with you. It doesn't follow. Because whoever pays the price has purchased, you know, that slave. So you see that thought in 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. No, it's 1 Corinthians 3.
1 Corinthians
3. Yes.
Just a minute.
Well, it says, therefore, glorify God in your body, which are. No, I think it's. Let me check. I think it's.
What is some of the.
It says, you know, I think it's 1 Corinthians. okay, yeah, sorry. I got it first. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20.
So,
I always get the two mixed up because they say the same thing.
Okay, so where is it?
Verse 20. So it says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, if I look at verse 9 and say, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own.
Vers 19, oder wisst ihr nicht, dass euer Leib ein Tempel des Heiligen Geistes in euch ist, den ihr von Gott habt und dass ihr nicht euer?
Again, this runs counter to the attitude of rebellion in the church. And this attitude of rebellion has come with the philosophy of humanism. That is, every man determines his destiny. So, you anything you think you want to do, you are free to do. Four men can come together and go to a lawyer and said, we want to be husband and wife.
Vier Männer können zu einem Richter gehen und sagen, wir möchten gerne Mann und Frau sein.
Do you know it's happening now?
Wisst ihr, dass das möglich ist?
So husband and wife is no longer man and woman.
Husband and wife ist nicht mehr, Entschuldigung.
That is the truth. Husband and wife is no longer man and woman.
It
can be a man and man. A woman and woman. Two women, three women can come together and be husband and wife. There was a case a few months ago in England. Three people were agreed to be married as husband and wife.
Personen in England sind Mann und Frau geworden.
Yes. Yes. They're free. They're free. Yes. Yes. It's a human freedom. It's a choice. A man can bring a dog and say, a dog is not my wife. You must marry him. Oh, yes. Yes, it's his feeling. It's what he wants to do. You marry him. That's where it's going.
The kingdom.
Well, you are the one saying it's darkness. You are. That's a hate speech. They will tell you.
I'm going to prison.
They tell you it's hate speech.
Well, if you preach in the States now, they have a law against it. If you preach against homosexuality.
You can be put in jail.
Yes.
You can be put in jail.
Yes.
And the other
yes.
people in jail.
Yes. So that's where it's going. That's exactly what you're looking at. So it's the principle. So when you test out the principle, you see how dangerous it is. When you say that a man has unqualified freedom over his soul, it's not counter to the scriptures. You know?
I didn't I didn't get that one.
No, I said when you say that a man has unqualified, that means unrestricted, you know, you have freedom that is not restricted. Your freedom is total. You know? Mm-hmm. Then you are running towards confusion and chaos. You know, so and that concept has been brought into the church. Because we are the freedom of the individual is placed above God. You know, so and you see it in dressing.
In
where? In dressing.
The way how they dress.
People dress.
In
the relationship with husband and wife and with children and so many, there are so many principles of even raising up children that are not in the Bible. He said train up a child in the way they should go. The authority to train is with the father. He didn't say the authority to train the child is with the father of the child. It's not a suggestion, it's a train. You give the direction. You do not suggest to the child, you may sit down if you like, or you might like to. That is not in this, and that's why the children are wild. You don't give a child the option, this is what you should do. And again, that has been taken away. So you take away the rod, you destroy the child. You say if you use the rod on the child, you deliver the soul from hell.
Okay, the Bible says that when you the route benutzt, then erlöst du das Kind von der Hölle.
You know, so.
But there is a qualification to that also.
Yeah.
The rod must be used in the right.
Of course.
But it needs to be mentioned.
Okay.
The rod must be used in the proper and appropriate.
In righteousness. It has to be in righteousness.
A rod can never be used in anger. The one who is addressing the problem cannot be angry.
With
the recipient of the discipline.
Yeah. Because he becomes unqualified. The anger disqualifies him.
What you do is you impart anger to the
church. Yeah, yeah.
You break the
It cannot be ministered anger, nor can it be abusive.
Yeah.
But there is a discipline in spanking that you can do that is neither with anger or abusive.
Es ist aber möglich, ein Kind zu züchtigen, ohne Wut und ohne Missbrauch.
And that is saying that the father must be under authority. Of righteousness. You understand? So you see that you must always have a restricted authority. You can never have said the father can do anything he wants, no? He can only do it in righteousness. So you have freedom as an individual, but this is in righteousness. You understand?
In my home, when I was sharing this morning about my mom, she always had a trump card.
A trump card?
A trump card. Like in, you play cards and you have a trump card.
She always had a trump card.
If what she was doing wasn't getting the results that she wanted, she would look at us and point her finger in my face and she'd say, I'm telling your dad when he comes home. And I'm telling you, we were like angels for the rest of the day, hoping that she would forget to tell dad, but she never forgot.
Yeah.
The father would reinforce the position of discipline that the mother was ministering.
Yes, it was in agreement.
That taught me a great deal of respect, both for my mom.
Yes, and for you, yes, both sides, yes.
You know. Mm-hmm.
You know, so this scripture is saying very clearly that it's bringing that thought of redemption. You know, so in the salvation of the soul, it is based on the principle of redemption.
In the Rettung der Seele,
Jesus paid a price. And that price is the blood, his life. And that price is an eternal price. He's not going to pay it again. And it is recognized in the heavens. You know? So the blood of Jesus is a spirit of life. You understand? The blood of Jesus is a covenant of life. So my soul has death. His own soul has life. It's an exchange. He takes away the death from my soul and gives me life through his blood. You understand? So the exchanging factor is the blood. Okay. Now, Luther shouted all over the world, no, salvation is by faith. In the blood of Jesus, you understand? He said, it is just shall live by faith on the blood of Jesus, on the finished work of Christ. So if someone says, well, if you pay indulgence, your soul will be saved. No, that was wrong. You know, and he objected to it by the Spirit. You understand? You know, and he brought salvation to us.
Because that
was what the church was doing, isn't it? Okay. You know, so he raised an objection to it. I said, no, that salvation is by the blood.
You know,
so for me to say, if I come to God and I want to save my soul, then I must come on the basis of the blood. And knowing that that blood is a spiritual reality. And the blood must be applied on the soul. You understand? So the soul has no life of its own. It has darkness instead. You understand? Which came into Adam and he passed down through all his children. So God, in order to solve that problem, he has to bring another Adam. A new one. Like Hadi said, you bring a new program.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Jesus came without any sin. So he said, behold the Lamb of God that bringeth salvation to the world. And even the Jews, for the Lamb has to be inspected for at least 4 days to make sure that it has no blemish. And if you look at the experience of Jesus, for 4 days he was being interrogated between Herod and Pilate and the scribes. So the scribes, they look at him, they moved him to the Sanhedrin. From the Sanhedrin, they moved him to Pilate. And Pilate heard Herod say, oh, Herod, you took him to Herod. Herod looked at him and sent him back to Pilate.
And the thing about it was, the Jews would not, the priests would not pronounce him as being clean.
Yes.
It took Pilate.
Yes.
To pronounce him as being clean. Just.
Yes. He said, I find no fault in this man.
I find no fault in this man. That made him qualified to be
sacrificed. Yes.
And why did it have to be Pilate?
Because the system was corrupt. They were in a position of looking after their own interests. And they were afraid that this man was going to create an environment from which they were going to be pushed out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing all kinds of things, lying, blah, 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 to bring evidence to him, against him, that he would not be a justified sacrifice. And the devil would have, it was all involved in that. Because in some respect, he has a thought or an idea of the consequences.
Yes.
So he's going to try to stop it, but in the aspect, God gave Pilate's wife a dream.
Yes. Remember, she had the dream. She went and told the man, have nothing to do with this man, that is a righteous man.
He is a righteous man. And he declared him clean.
Yes. You understand? And he said, I have no find no fault in this man. He used the word man because he knew he was a man. You understand? So that qualified him as the second Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So, and the acting ingredient is the blood. And it says, Hebrews 7:22 says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission, forgiveness of sins. Again, so you're looking at the soul. So the soul has a pattern for its salvation, and it's through the pathway of the blood. Okay, and then so if you are talking about the blood, the only place you can go to understand what the blood means is to go to the altar, because that's where the blood is applied. Blood must be applied on an altar. You cannot take the blood to a supermarket. It's of no use in supermarket. You cannot take the blood to government house or the king's throne. It must be taken to the altar. Okay, so there are two types of altars. There is a natural altar and there is a spiritual altar. So the physical altar is found in the physical temple in Jerusalem, is it not? But the scripture, we have just read it, says that you are the temple of the living God. So there's an altar in your heart. You understand? Good. So that altar is the soul, it's the same soul. Now the devil understands that very well, but we who call ourselves Christians, we don't understand, we don't even know what we're talking about. We do not function as a people that are that living reality of a temple of God. You understand? So the devil has so made the church so carnal that simple spiritual principles are lost, if I had not even known, completely removed. Because if I know that I am an altar, an altar must have a sacrifice. It must have a priest. And it must have offerings to give. You understand? And the truth of the matter is that you are actually functioning as an altar, whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, the soul functions as a priest. You understand? It's just that it is a priest of darkness. You understand? So when you say you want to begin the journey of salvation, what you mean is that you want to change your priesthood. You want to bring a different type of offering in your soul. You understand? And so you and then you are going to bring that offering to a high priest. A new high priest. You know, and that thought, we can find it in Colossians chapter 1.
In Colossians 1.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
You're saying that the soul functions as a priest.
Yes.
So, as a priest, it must have something to offer.
Yes.
And what is it that you're saying it has to offer?
The soul must offer itself. That's the highest offering they can bring. The emotions, your desire, your will, and your mind. Now that is called the peace offering. Peace offering. There are five types of offering that were brought in the physical temple. So in the spirit, those same offerings are going on too. Now the first offering that was brought in the physical temple was the sin offering. That was You know, because Jesus had not yet come physically, they had to use animals. So, and that offering for sin was made by the high priest to take away the sin of the people. The second offering was what you call the offering for transgression, which had to do with relationships. Yes. Sin first, second one, transgression.
Okay.
That has to do with relationships.
Okay,
if you.
Jesus is when you zwischen zwei Leute etwas hast, dann du brichst das.
Also wenn zwischen zwei Menschen dann überschritten werden.
Oder vielleicht haben wir einen Vertrag miteinander und dann mache ich etwas, was nicht stimmt.
I'm speaking as though you are in my mind. You're not in my mind, so let's go and get it because it's on the tape. Leviticus 5 is very. Yeah. Actually, it starts from 1, but it goes down. Leviticus chapter 1 to Leviticus chapter 8 or 5 give us the different offerings. So let's get it. The first one is the sin offering. That is a vertical relationship, you and God.
Die vertikale Beziehung zwischen Gott und dir.
The second one is the offering for transgression, and it is the vertical relationship. Sorry, horizontal relationship. So you actually have the cross. So the cross is you and God. That's the vertical one. And it is the basis of the horizontal relationship between you and your neighbor. So Jesus says, there are two laws. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And then the second one is that you love your neighbor as yourself. So you can see the two basic relationships. The second one is the horizontal. That's between, you know, interpersonal. Pardon?
Between hands.
Yes. A pure heart. That's right.
The heart is a God.
Yes. Relationship. Vatican one.
It says the Spirit of God searches the heart of man.
Yes.
And the clean hands is really the.
Is the relationship. Relationship. Okay. That's another way. Yeah. That's another way of putting it. Okay.
Yes.
So he said that there are two laws. One. The vertical and then the second one says these are the two great commandments. You understand? Now the third one is what you call the burnt offering. It is an offering of consecration.
Like you burn.
You burn.
Fire.
Okay, so in which the whole sacrificial animal is completely burnt, everything. You understand? So it speaks of the offering of your life, everything. Both the good and the bad is given to God. You come to God as you are. You don't try to make yourself good. You just come, whoever you are, you come. So the Pharisees had a problem with that. You see, this Jesus, his friends are liars, prostitutes, common men, you know. Task and all that. He said no. But you see, Jesus took them as they were. In fact, he even had a thief as his treasurer. So that tells you how real. Okay, sorry, I'm getting carried away. Sorry, I'm getting carried away. Sorry. Okay, and if I even take it down, if you look at the lineage of Jesus Christ, as far back as Adam, in that lineage you see thieves, liars, prostitutes, what else do you find there? Moabites, you know. Foreigner, every kind of person was in that lineage. So it tells you the power of the redemptive work of Christ. Whoever you are, that blood can change you. You understand? So Ruth became the great grandmother of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that a Moabite should not enter the congregation of the Lord unto the 10th generation. Do you understand? So he had no chance of coming in. But Ruth smuggled herself in. And then the man who married Ruth,
Boaz,
his own grandmother was a prostitute. And that was her name, Rahab. Rahab was the great grandmother of Boaz. You understand? So you look at God. If I say I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of a Nigerian, you know, this is a supply. It gives me hope. It was a supplanter. You understand? So that is the power of God. It's real. It's real. You don't need any coating. Just come to God as you are. That is the burnt offering. You know, you give God what you have. You don't need to act church. You know.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, of the three offerings,
yeah, there are two more to go.
Well, okay.
I want
to still go back to our soul as being a priest.
Let me land then. Because the peace offering is what? The peace offering is the highest offering.
The what?
The peace offering is the highest offering. You understand?
Okay, well, let's run with it.
Okay, so the fourth one is the what they call the meat offering or grain offering or fellowship offering. That's the fourth
grain
one.
Offering.
Yes, yeah. Or meat offering.
Meat offering.
Yes.
Flesh offering.
Which is the fellowship offering. Okay, and again, when they, in that case they bring grain and ground it, and out of it they get a fine flour.
They bring
So you see the flour is not an individual, it's whole. And then it begins with the grain individuals, and at the end it becomes one grain. It becomes flour. So God destroys the individuality and produces a body. And he says when you make the grain, when you make this grain offering, you put oil on it, on the flour. And you men, you know what happens to flour when you add oil on it? It comes together. You understand? So the true moving of the Spirit of God will bring God-given unity, agreement, and witness.
So
because the Spirit is wrong. You understand?
Yes.
The Spirit is wrong. That's how you know. So the Scriptures agree with themselves. You don't need to force anything. You see the thought running.
Because when we see something so beautiful, our final offerings from deep inside, thank and praise for that what
he is. Yes. So that's what fellowship should be. Fellowship should be a place where we are losing our individuality and we are becoming a body. You understand? And that is by the work of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's only the Spirit of God that can unite the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
So you can tell with the Spirit of God.
Good. So
all you see is the title of the Spirit.
Good. Yes. And the principle of oneness is that God will bring you into fellowship with people of like mind. That's the principle of unity. You see my hand, it's joined to my shoulder. They will always work together. My hand can never walk with my leg. My hand can never walk with the heart. They're all in the body. So When God brings you into the body, He will bring you into proximity with people you should work with. And they will be in agreement. So he says, can two walk together except they are agreed? You understand? So where there is no the agreement in the spirit, the question you are asking this morning, this is the answer.
Yes, exactly. That's
so,
the answer, yes.
So where there's no agreement, it's telling you maybe you should not be there.
Not even agreement.
You understand?
Yes.
The problem that we have as individuals is that in the arena of God is that we don't understand the objective. We losing your identity is a scary thing.
Yeah.
Losing your position, your right, your interest, the aspect of who and what you are, it is a scary position. And we all have to deal with the spirit of self-preservation. But if we understand that what we are trading in and what we give back,
was wir investieren und herausziehen,
is far greater than anything we would ever be able to do in and of ourselves. Because you quoted the scripture out of John 17 that they may be one. So we are trading in what is. So Brother Dusil used to call low bite. We're trading in that which is of
low quality.
No quality or value whatsoever.
For the highest value.
For something far beyond what we can even possibly comprehend.
So those are the laws of fellowship.
Das sind die Gesetze der Gemeinschaft.
Like one, you're losing your individuality. And you gain a body, a family.
And then, when you add fire, it becomes bread.
Yes.
So the fire is the tribulation. So in the body there will be tribulation, because when you rub against your brother, there is some uncomfortableness with it. But out of it comes the bread, the life.
Yeah. So therefore, there is the feeding for the
yes.
nation.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know.
Well, the self is self-possession.
Yes. And the other thing too is that when you begin to lose your individuality, it means you see the raw nature of your brother. So you must then cover it, because love covers a multitude of sin. You understand? So fellowship will bring you to reality of my deficiencies, and you should not expose it, because the Bible says that he that repeated a matter does not seek true love, but he that covers it will save a multitude of sin. You
understand? But that gets also misinterpreted.
Everything will be misinterpreted. Everything will be misinterpreted.
This is your love, and you should. It gets misused.
Yes.
The way people are selfishly.
The Bible says you should speak the truth in love.
Only selfishly seeking their own things, actually even destroying for others.
That is the wrong spirit. That is the wrong spirit.
People have been told they are judging, they are wrong.
No.
But these are serious things.
Yes.
So in a lot of churches you hear of love, and people refuse what they want. People are not even being saved when they are brought there. They are being entertained. So a lot of places you hear of, or you hear how they, or you just go, it doesn't even take 1, 2, 3, and the Spirit exposes what kind of place that is. You know, you can just...
There are two words in the New Testament that describe judgment. One of them is krino, and the other is kata. So
Did you
I'm trying to encourage him to stay
with us. He's tired, eh?
Completely.
Oh my God.
Is to put it very simply.
He can stand.
The word prima
stand
is a word that means to discern.
Spiritual discernment.
To discern. You can discern as to what is right and what is wrong. And on the basis of that discernment, you have an obligation biblically concerning your own salvation. So you have to make a decision, whatever it may be. All right. The other word is katakrimo. And that is judgment. That is an assessment of a situation that comes with judgment. We as believers are to preno.
What did we stand?
For our own benefit and our own position of salvation.
Yeah.
God katakrinos, because he's the one who sees the heart.
Yeah.
And he is the one that determines the action that needs to be applied to the situation to correct it if possible. We are not to katakrino, but we are to discern.
Mm-hmm.
And on the discerning of the situation, we then have to make a decision as to what is right and what is wrong in the aspect of our salvation. And on the basis of that, you have an action of what to do.
Yes.
You can go to an individual and you can talk with them, you understand, and try to, in some way or another, to rectify the issue.
Yes, correct.
And if they reject it,
mm-hmm.
that's not your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Your problem will be how you mentally, emotionally handle that rejection. But it comes a point in these relationships where you have to agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And that agreement opens the door a path for you, and it opens the door a path for them. But you are free. You're free of any condemnation of separation or antagonistic action behind it. If your soul is in the right place with God, there's no emotional hurt, thoughts of being justified or vindicated, or action taken in some way or another to demonstrate the reality that you are right and they are wrong. That's for God. That's for God to do. But I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility for me.
To count.
I have a responsibility for my wife. I have a responsibility for my children. I have a responsibility for my grandchildren. To address situations that I discern that are not right, but they have to make the decision. And oftentimes decisions will bring some sort of separation.
The leader of the Bible school in our former church said that he is no more correcting people because the Bible says that the love of God leads to repentance.
Oh my God.
Love the agape.
You took the words right out of my mind. We have a terminology. We call it sloppy agape.
Sloppy
is sloppy.
Agape is the word for the love of God. In the Corinthians, Corinthians 13, the word for the love, you know, the chapter 13 of the Corinthians, is the word is agape.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the God's love, and we say sloppy agape.
Because they are saying, just love everybody.
Yes.
You have to love.
Love them into the kingdom.
Well, love, actually, what they mean is you've got to accept everything.
Yes.
Tolerate. Since the minute you don't accept, the minute you don't tolerate, and the minute you're going to say, hey, this is supposed to be a holy place. Yeah, this is the house of God.
So
we come with all. You are going to become unpopular.
So this is like judging.
You are judging.
No, you only need to go back. It's always good to go back to the garden. God put Adam in the garden. And did God put any restrictions on him?
Just the one that he shouldn't.
Yes. So there must be restriction, and he applied it.
Yes.
You have freedom to do everything, but. And when he broke it, God just loved him. God just loved him.
Even God,
yeah?
That he doesn't come.
He applied the rod. He applied the rod. But in applying the rod, he provided his salvation. In fact, the salvation was even provided before that event, because the blood of Jesus was shed from the foundation of the world. You understand?
The interesting thing is that God even put angels to guard that.
Of course.
Fallen state.
Yes. So he supervised the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's any gospel that doesn't have discipline, it is the gospel of the man who came and said, I saw tumult. Because the real gospel will speak about judgment on the nature of sin,
yes.
Which is the nature of the soul. You understand? You know, so when we lose that principle, then you know we will be confused. But when you know that there has to be judgment on your right, because the normal soul is strong. Okay, sorry.
I'm trying synchronically now. I'm doing synchronically, but while you are speaking, I'm trying to.
Oh yeah, yeah, doing it too. Okay, because you're not preaching. That's good. Okay, so I think we'll soon round up. So
can you just tell us quickly
the last one? Yes, that's the fourth one is what we're discussing now. The fellowship.
Okay.
The fifth one is the peace offerings. The peace offering, peace offering.
I thought that was
for
the first one.
The first one is sin. Fellowship, and then the peace offering.
Mm-hmm.
The peace offering is given out of love for God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based because of sin, not because you have sinned against God, not because you sinned against another person. Okay, it's a higher form of consecration of the burnt offering. But in this case, they offer the inward part, the liver and the kidney, which represent the emotions and the desire and the different parts of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Then you offer the fat, and the fat speaks of the carnality, the strength, of self. All right, and then that is offered unto God. So it's the highest form, because you know the fat is the choicest part of the animal, because that's where the energy and the substance is stored.
It gives a nice
death itself is when you overcome the old nature of self, of the old Adamic nature. That is death itself, and you cannot do it in one day.
No, but is that one symbolized by
the... Yes, it's symbolized. Mm-hmm. So it's an offering you bring all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's an offering you bring all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They burn the fat evening and morning.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Every day, it's a perpetual offering. And like she said, it brings a sweet aroma.
Mm-hmm.
So the offering of your thoughts, your desires, your emotions, your responses, your thoughts, all the things going on here. So it's an offering. In fact, I was shocked when I was researching the emotions. Now, an English word, tumult, T-U-M-U-L-T, tumult, okay, is actually taken from the Greek word means an offering.
Tumult.
Yes.
Tumult means
it means to go up in smoke. Mm. It means to evaporate. Mm-hmm. All right. So the way God created the emotion is the activities of the emotion are an offering to Him. You understand?
Mm.
So if you understand that when you are angry or when I am angry, it's an offering.
To the devil.
Good. And then the emotions are the lowest nature in your soul. You understand? So, and that is the power of entertainment. Entertainment, yes. Because it's exciting the emotions.
It is exciting. The entertainment.
Yes. It brings pleasure to the emotions, you understand? It brings pleasure to the emotions, so and all that. And all that reaction, so it's an offering to the devil. That's what he wants. But you can also be excited at God. And you see the cherubims, they are always excited, say holy, holy, you understand? So there was an excitement unto God in their nature. Yeah, so you can see the two opposite, which is possible. That I can be excited at God, at the things of God. Exactly. And it's very easy to be excited with carnal things.
Yes.
Because the mind is fallen, the emotions are fallen. So it's all earthbound. It's like a creeping nature. You understand?
Uh-huh.
So to overcome means you are bringing these natures and bring it to God. You are offering it to God. You understand? So that is the real offering that should be taking place in your soul. You understand? So when you begin the journey of salvation is, I come to the cross. I come to Christ and say, save my soul. Then the blood comes in and brings the life of God. So a covenant is made. All right, but that covenant has to be strengthened. And that is why you need the second experience of consecration at baptism. You understand? So that consecration is that my soul is going to be restored in fellowship with God. I'm going to go all the way, forgetting the world, separating myself from, it's a consecration. No, it's a consecration, that brings you into the holy place. You understand? So, but first of all, you have to be born again. Say, he that is saved and is baptized. So you cannot be baptized without being saved.
Yes, no.
You understand? That's what the church was teaching. And you understand? So you say, he that is saved. Then you come to the second experience of being baptized. You understand? And then the baptism is for the three parts of humanity. The body, the soul, and spirit must be baptized. The baptism in water is for the body.
Yes.
Okay. And a man, somebody in your church, or somebody will baptize you. All right. The baptism for the spirit is done by Jesus Christ. So he is the one that baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. You understand? Then the Spirit, Holy Ghost that comes into your spirit now baptizes your soul into Christ. You understand? You understand? And the first two baptisms are in the outer court. The first two baptisms in water and in the spirit is in the outer court. It's outside. So, and that is the common experience in the church. So if you want to go in, then you have to be taken in. So I think we will just end up, So the important thing is, we need to check our experience of being born again to make sure it is real. Because the foundation of the house is important. You understand? Uh-huh. So if you have made the choice, then you need to make sure that you understand what you have done. And if you have not made it, then you know you have a basis. Because the soul must be saved. At the end of life, the question is, was your soul saved? Oh, what did I say? You know, the mind has a natural and a spiritual part. When I go to school as a doctor, it is my conscious mind that is educated. But there is an unconscious mind, which is spiritual, you understand? And that is the one that needs to be saved much more, you understand? So if I spend all my time to activate my natural mind, and my spiritual mind is still in darkness of what gain is it, you understand? So it's only the blood of Jesus that can make an impact on that spiritual part of me, you understand? So he says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, so I'll just end it at that point, because I think we all need to come to that point of making a decision. So I think we need to pray. Somebody lead us in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for the word of God, for the word that you have sent, and for your son that you have sent. Father, we thank you that you have come to take the place for our sin, and that you have come, Father, to not only deliver us from the sin and so that we may not go into hell, but that you gave us an inheritance. There is a heavenly inheritance. There is a place where we can sit at your right hand. Father, we thank you for the change of the character that you are offering to us, that you are offering to change our soul. Father, and we indeed want to decide, even tonight, Lord God, that we want to go the whole way. Father, bless each and everyone at this room, Lord God, in the fellowship. Father, let us give to us this ability to choose, Lord God, the good and the evil, and to choose and go the right way, Lord God. You are saying in your word that you have given us a anchor that is in the Holy of Holies, Lord God. And we want to hold on to it. And we want to pull ourselves towards you. Thank you, Lord. Bless this evening, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.